Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah to the Most High God, hallelujah to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, I thank you that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. In Jesus' name, we break every generational curse of pride, lust, perversion, rebellion, witchcraft, idolatry, poverty, rejection, fear, confusion, addiction, death, and destruction in the name of Jesus. We command all generational spirits that came in into our lives during conception, in the womb, in the birth canal, and through the umbilical cord to come in, to come out in the mighty name of Jesus. We break all spoken curses and negative words that have been spoken in our lives in the name of Jesus. We break all spoken curses and negative words spoken over our lives by others, including those in authority, in the name of Jesus. We command all ancestral spirits of Freemasonry, idolatry, witchcraft, false religion, polygamy, lust, perversion to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all hereditary spirits of lust, rejection, fear, sickness, infirmity, disease, anger, hatred, confusion, failure, and poverty to come out of our lives now in the name of Jesus. We break the legal rights of all generational spirits operating behind a curse in the name of Jesus. You have no legal right to operate in our lives. In Jesus' name, come out of us now. We bind and rebuke all familiar spirits and spirit guides that would try to operate in our lives from our ancestors in the name of Jesus. We renounce all false beliefs and philosophies inherited by our ancestors in the name of Jesus. We break all curses on our finances from our ancestors that cheated or mishandled money in the name of Jesus. We break all curses of sickness and disease and command all inherited sicknesses to leave our bodies in the name of Jesus. We break all curses of sickness and disease and command in all inherited sicknesses to leave our bodies in the name of Jesus. Through Jesus, our families are blessed. We renounce all pride inherited from our ancestors in the name of Jesus. We break our oaths, vows, and pacts with the devil, our ancestors in the name of Jesus. We break our curses by agents of Satan spoken against our lives in secret in the name of Jesus. We break all written curses that would affect our lives in the name of Jesus. We break every time and these curse that will activate in our lives as we grow older in the name of Jesus. We break every curse Balaam hired against our life in the name of Jesus. Lord, turn every curse spoken against our lives into blessings in Jesus' name. We break all generational rebellion that will cause us to resist the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we break all curses of death spoken by people in authority in our nation and over our nation in the name of Jesus. We break curses of death spoken against America by people from other nations in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we honor you as Lord today. We thank you that you are Lord of our lives, and we honor, bless, and adore you. We worship you this evening like never before in the name of Jesus. We realize that you are Lord, and we surrender our all to you, O God. In the name of Jesus, forgive us, Father God, when we sin against you. You are truly the Most High God. You are our Creator. And Father God, forgive us when we sin against you, O God, in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we bless you today. Have your way on boys to men, girls to ladies. And we thank you, Father God, that we could call on your name, the Most High God, and you hear and you hearken unto our voice. Oh, God, I thank you that you hear our voices, oh, God, and we hear you clearly, Father God. We thank you for that gift of being able to hear your voice, oh, God. And, Father God, like Job said in his word, that we desire the words of your mouth more than our necessary food. In Jesus' name, have your way today like never before, oh, God. Speak through us in the name of Jesus. Have your way on boys to men, girls to ladies. Well, here we are again today because of the mercy and goodness of our God. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. We owe him more glory, more praise, more honor than we can give him in a lifetime. So today, as we read his word is able to penetrate our souls. His word is able to heal us of our soul's diseases. So today, the word of God that we're going to read is from Psalm 56. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 56 and read along with us. Psalm 56. You know, the word of God is such a great, great blessing to us. And, you know, many people in many countries don't have the word. If they have it, it's not in a language they can understand. And many countries don't even have the word. They're not even allowed to own a Bible. So we are blessed here in America. Let's pick up our Bibles. Let's read our Bibles. This is a treasure chest that we have. Open up your treasure chest every day and read and see the treasures that the Lord has to give you. So today, the treasure of the word that we're going to read is, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to us, O God. For man would follow us up. He fighting daily oppresseth us. Our enemies would daily swallow us up. For they be many that fight against us, O thou most high. What time we are afraid, we will trust in you, O God. In God we will praise your word. In God we have put our trust. In you we will not fear what flesh can do unto us. Every day they twist our words. All their thoughts are against us for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark our steps when they wait for our soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest our wanderings, put thou our tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When we cry unto you, then our enemies turn back. This we know, for God is for us. In God will we praise his word. In the Lord will we praise his word. In God we have put our trust. We will not be afraid what man can do unto us. Thy vows are upon us, O God. We render praises unto you, O God, for thou hast delivered our souls from death. Wilt thou not deliver us, our feet from falling, that we may walk before you, God, in the light of the living? So I thank God for his word. His word is living. Yes, it is. And his word is able to bless. Well, as many of you know, my pastor is Apostle Kimberly Daniels, and her ministry is Spoken Word Ministries here in Jacksonville, Florida, on Steel and Blue. You're invited to come. But you know she's written many books, and her books are very valuable to me. This one book that I'm going to read a prayer out of today, the book is called Prayers That Bring Change. So if you ever get a chance, order her book, Prayers That Bring Change. And I'm telling you, when I read these prayers, change do come about. I try to be diligent in calling on the Father. So this prayer that we're going to read today is called Prayer Against the Spirit of Death. You know there's death all over the land. Innocent blood is shed everywhere you go. You listen to the news, innocent blood is being shed. So this prayer is called prayer against the spirit of death. In the name of Jesus, I curse the spirit of death over our city, Jacksonville, Florida, from our families and off of our lives. The threefold cord of death, hell, and the grave has already been defeated by the precious blood of Jesus. Early death, crib death, sudden death, accidental death, suicide, and every form of death is bound and blocked. I call out the names of the strong men of death and pull their strongholds down. Azrael, Uriel, Samuel, Grim Reaper, Lalitho, Father Time, Osiris, Heal, Azaniel, Shamil, Thanatos, Kalma, Hades. The assignment of death is broken off of us and all of our future generations, which includes death through sickness and disease, domestic violence, violent crime, crib death, suicide, juvenile delinquency, abortion and miscarriage, terrorists, empty shell assaults, freak accidents, gang violence and initiation, hijackings, robberies and burglaries, occult sacrifices, organized police and government corruption, drug deals and other organized crimes, generational curses of infirmity and sickness, abuse of the weak and innocent. I declare that the name of these I declare that none of the names of these will have any power over us ever in Jesus' name. We confess Psalm 68:20 that escape from death comes from the sovereign Lord. We declare that the Lord has not given us over to death. Psalms 118:18. God, I thank you that we have found wisdom that breeds life, according to Proverbs 8:35. We have found favor, the favor of God on our lives because we love wisdom and we will not court death. We agree with Proverbs 12:28 that life is in the way of moral and spiritual prosperity, and in its path there is no death. The word of the Lord in Proverbs 10:2 declares that the treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but the righteousness of death, but the righteous are delivered from death. We are delivered from death. Our spouses are delivered from death. Our families are delivered from death. Our seeds are delivered from death. Death has no victory over our lives. There is no sting. The spirit of death is bound. The spirit of life is loose. We will live full, abundant lives. We will live and not die. The law of wisdom has caused us to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 13:14. We will not walk in the ways that seems right but leadeth to death. Proverbs 14:12. We know that we have passed from life. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love people. John 3:14. Those who are drawn to death are far from us. Our households are not houses that are the way of hell or the chambers of death. Proverbs 7:27. Our feet do not lead to death, Proverbs 5:5. Because we love wisdom, we do not have a covenant with death, Proverbs 8:36. Because we do not pursue evil, death is not our portion. We are delivered from the messenger of death, Proverbs 6:24. We have passed from death into life because we love each other, and we understand that to hate is to abide in the spirit of death. 1 John 3:14. The fumes that have ignited the airways for the spirit of death to flow are falling to the ground. They are under our feet and have sucked back into the pits of hell. Atmospheric death is cursed to its root. The ruach of the Holy Spirit has blown it away. The scent of revival is in the air, and restoration is released unto us seven times. The gates of hell, death, and the grave should not prevail against our city, Jacksonville. There is life and death in the power of the tongue, and we use life of our tongue to displace the spirit of death. We speak manifold life, abundant life, and 100-fold life in Jesus' name. Death is swallowed up in victory. Our righteousness delivers us from death, Proverbs 10:2. There is no death in the way of righteousness, Proverbs 12:28. The law of the wise is a fountain of life that causes us to depart from the snares of death, Proverbs 13:14. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. The terrors that come by night has been overthrown. La Lipo has been cast back into her hold. We serve the God of salvation, and the issues of death belong to him. Psalm 68:20. Though the Lord chasten us sorely, he has not given us unto death. Psalms 118:18. He has given us keys over death, hell, and the grave. We walk in the victory. We walk in that victory in our city and every surrounding county. Our borders are blessed and cannot be cursed by the infiltration of death spirits. We believe every word that we have spoken, and we believe that the manifestation of the power of these words will be a sign to our city that shall cause the government and media to know that Jesus is Lord. As a result, our souls will be saved. Amen, amen. Well, there's power in the word of God. Today's message is entitled Natural Suicide and Spiritual Suicide. You know, suicide, Webster says that suicide is an act of taking one's own life voluntarily and intentionally, a deliberate act resulting in voluntary death of a person, of the person who does it, destruction of one's own self. Let's talk about natural suicide. When we talk about natural suicide, when a human being is so depressed, suppressed, or oppressed, they feel they have no reason to live. All hope is lost. Let's say a person decides life is not worth living. They have no reason to live. Maybe they grew up in a home where they felt unloved, not cared about. Perhaps they were cursed out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, told they were no good and they will never amount to nothing, told they were hated, told they were almost aborted and unwanted. All their lives they have never experienced acceptance, only rejection. Nobody wanted them. Their parents drank, fussed, cussed, and fought daily, and did illegal drugs, were plentiful in their household. Every day since they can remember, they felt worthless, hopeless, unloved, and rejected at home by family, friends, by everybody. They felt heavy, like, you know, they literally had to drag themselves out of their beds every day to do what's necessary to live. The doctors have given them pills to sleep, pills to stay calm. The pressures of life are so great that they feel they cannot continue to live like this. Why should they live and why were they born? Is their everyday question. Nobody wants them. They wish they were dead. They have no reason to live. Life has never worked for them. Why should they continue to live? They ask the question. They feel they are regressing instead of moving forward. The tape in their head is on replay daily, and it says, you're no good. You will never amount to anything. You are worthless. We hate you. You are ugly. You are not wanted. Why were you born? They hear this tape in their head all day long, every day. They have been thinking about the quickest way, most painless way to end their lives. So I read a report that I pulled up on the internet about suicide. And it was saying that the Gallup Youth Survey, this is some facts on contemplation, attempts, and death. People who are contemplating suicide. And the death was saying that the survey was conducted in 2003 on 1,200 teens, the ages 13 to 17, and it revealed that 25% of the teens thought, if they didn't think about it, they talked about committing suicide, while 9% came close to committing suicide, and 7% actually tried it. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration reported 14%. 12 to 17-year-old youth thought about or attempted suicide in 2000. Females were twice as likely to contemplate, in other words, think about suicide, compared to their male counterparts, with 16% versus 8%, respectively. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported in its annual 2001 Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System survey of 13,600 ninth through 12th grade students, the percentage of the students seriously considered suicide dropped to 19%, 14% for the boys, 24% for the girls. In 2001, from 29%, 21% for boys, 37% for girls. The percentage of students who actually attempted suicide rose to 9%, 6% for boys, 11% for girls. The National Institute of Mental Health reports that there were 30,622 total suicides in the United States in 2001. Suicide was the third leading cause of death behind accidents and homicides for 15 to 24-year-olds. In 2001, there were 272 suicidal deaths for 10-year to 14-year-olds. For 20 to 24-year-olds, per 100,000, the ratio of male to female suicide deaths in 2001 was 3-1. For 10-year-olds to 14-year-olds, 5-1. For 15 to 19-year-olds, 7-1. For 20 to 24-year-olds, see, you got to look that up, research it. Girls tend to use nonviolent methods of suicide, such as overdosing pills or carbon monoxide poison, car exhaust, whereas boys will often use more violent means, including guns, hanging themselves, issues and risk factors surrounding or preceding thoughts and acts of suicide are multifaceted and complex, and not necessarily casual, but the following associated have been detected. According to the Hope Line, untreated depression is the number one cause of suicide. I'm going to repeat that. According to the Hope Line, hopeline.org, untreated depression is the number one cause of suicide. Bullied teens are 4 to 8 times more likely to be suicidal. Also, children who are victims of direct bullying, name-calling, threats, being hit or kicked, and indirect bullying, ignoring, including, and backbiting, are more likely to have suicidal thoughts than non-bullied children from a study of preteens in the Netherlands appearing in the Journal of Pediatrics. Teens who have been teased about their weight are more likely to be suicidal, according to research appearing in August 20, 2003, Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine. Sexually active teens are more likely to attempt suicide compared to those abstaining counterparts. Teens who feel they are developing abnormally and or teens from broken homes have increased chances of being suicidal. Eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia, and extreme diets, drug use, past suicide attempts, cutting, family and school, academic, extracurricular pressures, all contribute to heightened risk of suicide. Seeking revenge and or gaining celebrity status from publicity of a suicide can be a contributing factor also in teen suicide. Suicide warnings. This is what to look out for. Parents, youth workers, and others who care about children and teens should be aware of and look for the following warnings. These are signs that may proceed, that may come before an attempt to take their lives. When a teen talks about committing suicide, take it seriously. When they have trouble eating or sleeping, check out what's going on with them. Experience drastic changes in their behavior. You know, when a calm child all of a sudden becomes, you know, like just very, you know, just displaying anger or violent behavior, withdrawing from friends and social activities. They lose interest in hobbies, work, school, or so on. Prepares for death by making out a will and final arrangements. Can you imagine a teenager making out a will or making final arrangements for their death? Gives away prized possessions. You know, things that are very, very important to them. Maybe they have trophies that they won, and they start giving them away. Has attempted suicide before. Pay attention to what's going on with your teenagers. They take unnecessary risks. Maybe they start walking in front of, you know, cars when the traffic lights is stopped. Walk in front of cars, or they do skateboarding accidents, or, you know, just all kind of stuff. Had recent severe losses. Maybe they lost a parent recently, or maybe they lost a close friend. Maybe they're preoccupied with death and dying. You know, they're always wearing black, or they're always asking you questions about, you know, why did this person have to die? Did you look at the news? Also die. They're all preoccupied with it. They lose interest in personal appearance. Maybe they're not taking a bath regularly. They don't comb their hair for days. They begin to smell. You know, they lose interest in keeping themselves looking nice or smelling good. They increase the use of alcohol or drugs. You know, you find them, you know, maybe you keep alcohol around the house and they just start sipping a little bit here and there, or they get with their friends and they go out drinking. Primitive measures. Here are some preventative steps parents and youth workers can take to lead their children and teens into an emotionally and spiritually stable adolescent and adult and adulthood. An extended discussion of each measure is included in Chapter 11. This is a book called Guarding Your Teen's Emotions by Walt Mueller. Understanding Today's Youth Culture, that's another book. Create a stable family life. You know, be consistent in your family life. You get up, eat breakfast together. You know, I can remember as a child growing up, you know, during the week, sometimes we didn't always eat breakfast together because my parents worked at different times and they had to leave early. But on Sunday, Saturday, you know, we ate breakfast together, particularly Sunday. We'd get up there, our parents would fix big breakfasts, biscuits and eggs and bacon and grits and toast and, you know, maybe stewed tomatoes or chicken or whatever, you know, just a good, and just talk, you know, talk about school. We talk about what's going on. We didn't close, we didn't have a bedroom by ourselves anyway. You know, people were poor during the time when I grew up. So everybody pretty much slept in the same bedroom. So, you know, you could tell if somebody not sleeping or resting well. You could, you know, parents knew what was going on with their children. Nowadays, I see parents letting their children walk way behind them. Then, when I was growing up, parents let children, come on, go ahead. Walk up. Come on, walk up. They let us walk in front of them. And they could tell what was going on with us. Nobody couldn't snatch us from behind because we were in front of our parents. And they watched us. The whole neighborhood watched us. Everybody watched us. Create a stable family life. You know, let parents in the neighborhood, you know, watch out for your child. And listen, you know, if you see something going on with my children, let me know. Lead your teens into spiritual maturity. Don't just take them to church. Teach them the Word of God. Open up the Word. I remember my daddy said, okay, now you've learned now to lay me down to sleep. Now it's time for you to learn Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I was sent to church. Sometimes my mother would come. But later on, the people of God fathered and mothered me. I had spiritual parents. And I thank God for sending them because they taught me how to study the Word, how to read the Word. And it was very interesting the way they taught. I mean, I was interested in the Word from a teenager. So even as a child, I remember going to church. We learned Bible verses, and the older we got, we may learn two or three verses when you're four or five. You seven or eight, you may learn a half a page. You get, you know, teenage, you learn two or three pages. And you recited them before the whole church. So lead your children to spirituality, spiritual maturity. Pray with them. Teach them how to pray. If they get in a situation where they're bullied, they could call on Jesus for themselves. Don't let your children take on your God. You let them take God for themselves. Teach your children. Now, listen, you're at an age now, or you will be at an age, where you're going to need to call on Jesus. You're going to need to be saved from your sins. You know, you were born in sin from me. And so I want you to know that you're going to have to ask forgiveness of the sin, you know, from me where you committed. You know, you lie. Every human being lies. We steal. You know, it may be something small. You tell your children, I'm going to cookie jar. They go in there. Whatever it is, we need to teach them about God and who God is for themselves. I mean, children are leaving here every day. So they need to be saved before they leave here. They need to be able to say, Jesus is Lord. The next thing is model and teach biblical theology of pain and suffering. You know, Jesus suffered, and he learned obedience through the things he suffered. He wept. He cried. He cried so much. He drops sweats of blood. You know, teach them about pain and suffering. You know, God doesn't really want us to suffer, but because we sin, we suffer. So teach your children about God. Open up the Word. Teach them scriptures. Write out scriptures for them. Spend time with your teens. You know, I knew a teenager years ago, probably about 20 years ago now. She told her mother, "This is my room. Don't you come in my room." I asked the mother, I said, "Who paid the rent here?" She said, "I know. What you mean? She owned the room? Now, if she's paying you rent, that's different." 13 years old, telling her mother, "This is, she better not come in her room." Had a baby at 14. Mama didn't even know nothing about her. Sneaking boys in. Mother gone to work. Neighbors finally told. But you know what? We got to know our children. Sometimes people come up and say, "Your son did this, your daughter did that." And we say, "Oh, my child, uh-uh." Don't you deny it. It could be true. You investigate when somebody tells you something about your child. The teacher come and tell you something. What right do they, why do they have to lie on your children? Nobody don't have time to come to you and lie on your children unless they're just full of the devil. Listen to what people tell you about your children. You know, when you get to know your children, you say, oh, so-and-so was telling the truth about you. I didn't even know that about you. The other thing is, love your children for who they are. You know, some people have children, they just don't like them. They don't like the way they act. They don't like the way they think. They don't like nothing about them. Learn to accept your children when they're babies. They're not going to be, you know, carbon copies of you. They're going to have their own way of thinking. They have their own way of acting. You, God don't even force them to be like, you know, somebody different than who they are. He made us all different. So learn to love your children, especially in their teenage years. You know, their bodies are changing. They're developing. They're maturing. They're going through hormonal changes. It's a very difficult period for them. So accept them as, you know, compliment them. Say, you know, Mama's so proud of you. Daddy's so proud of you. The other thing is develop a network of significant adults. It may be the pastor. It may be a community leader. Maybe the basketball coach or the football coach. You know, get a whole network of people, you know, helping out with your children. Attend church that models Christ-like love. And, you know, I'm glad I said that because you can attend a church that is more like the devil. Yeah, the devil have copycat churches. You go in the church, you think it's just so, just like, you're so loving to people, so loving. They're full of the devil. So you got to know, ask God, should I go to that church? Should I go? Where should I go, Lord? Where would you want me to go to worship? So attend a church that models Christ-like love. Encourage. You know, a lot of times you send your children to church. Take them so you'll know what's going on. Don't just send them. Take your children. Know what's going on. Visit their classes. See what they're being taught. See what's going on with your children. Encourage involvement with positive peers. You know, sometimes your children can pick up the wrong friends. Corrupt communication. You know what happens? They get bad morals. They start, you may not even know it. They can start smoking weed at 10 years old, 9 years old. Just something, you know, to be cool, to be accepted by their friends. So encourage them. You know, check their friends out. Check the friends' parents out. Know the people. I remember parents, when people used to come, children come to my house, my mom would say, "What's your daddy name? What's your mama name? Where you live? Where your people from?" My mother and father wanted to know where my friends were from, who their parents were. In other words, when you find out about your children and what their parents are teaching them, you say, "Oh, okay. Yeah, I know so-and-so. Yeah, uh-huh." Get good friends for your children. So, you know, help them develop positive relationships with each other. Develop friendships with your teen friends. Have them over. My mother used to have my friends over. She would fix snacks for us. She let us have sleepovers. We would play music together. We played games together, checkers. My mother would play with us. You know, my daddy sometimes would play with us. You know, we were all together as a big family. Kids come over. My mother said, "Come up. You know, we're going to have a sleepover next week." And, you know, the kids would ask their parents. Of course, their parents had to approve. We ain't let children come to our house unless their parents approved of it. No, you could have children somewhere that's homeless. Or, you know, they spent the night out and their parents didn't know it. Pray for your children. Pray for your children. Not only pray for them, teach them how to pray. You know, a few months ago, less than a year ago, I kept a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. Now, you know that child was so gifted, so talented, both of them, a little girl and a little boy. And that little girl could pray. And her mother prayed in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. So guess what? The little girl could pray in the Holy Ghost more than she could in English. I said, come on, let's pray, baby. Our Father, she goes, oh, my God, that baby could outpray me in the Spirit. So, you know, you got to know your children. Know who they're dealing with. Pray with them. Pray for them. Teach them how to pray. That little girl's mother had taught her how to pray, and her brother was barely talking, but he knew how to say Jesus. They can start early. You can start when they're in the womb, teaching your children. Now, you know, we were talking about suicide, natural suicide and spiritual suicide. So the ways that I just was talking to you about, those are some ways that you can teach your children so they won't be depressed and suppressed and even thinking about suicide. You know, now on the flip side of that, we can commit spiritual suicide. When we starve ourselves spiritually, it can lead to spiritual death. You know, we just, you know, spiritual suicide is when we decide for many reasons to leave God's people. It could be offense. It could be for many different reasons. You know, sometimes you go and Sister Sally Sue, you know, the one with the little cute outfit, she decides she's going to roll her eyes at you. And then Brother Harry Moo, he decided, well, he's going to step all over your feet. And then you say, well, I ain't going to go there no more. I don't like it. So then you go somewhere else. And guess what? Another Sister Sally Sue is there. Another Brother Harry Moo is there. So it's the same way if you go. Guess what? Anywhere you find flesh and blood, you're going to find all of that stuff because God ain't finished delivering us yet. When he finished delivering us, we're going to say bye to everybody in the world. So we are under construction. So, you know, we got to do not commit spiritual suicide because of somebody else doing something to you. You know, maybe you committed spiritual suicide because you were in the fiery furnace. You had an experience and it was too burning. It was too hot for you in there. God was just pressing you. You know, they were all talking about you. You had to go in the fiery furnace. They pointed the finger at you. They lied on you and you were in the fiery furnace. And then, you know, we got to lean on God. You know, God is with us in the fiery furnace. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was right there with them. He said, you know, the king said, wait a minute, I only put 3 people in there, but I see 4, and it looks like the Son of God. Don't you know when you have a fiery furnace experience, God is going to be in the midst of that experience? But sometimes you got to go through a fiery furnace experience. It's hot. Oh, my God. It'd be so hot you can't hardly stand it. It's burning up in that experience. You feel like, Lord, I can't take another minute of it. But then he puts his loving arms around you in that fiery furnace, and then you can stay in there until you are completely, completely transformed. That's what it's about, that fiery furnace experience. It's going to burn everything out of you that's not like God. You know, you say, Lord, I surrender all. But then when it comes time, you say, okay, well, you know, Sister G, she said she surrendered all. I'm going to see. Then he puts you in the fiery furnace. You go like, oh, it's burning up in here. But, you know, with God, all things are possible. We could stay there as long as the Lord says so. But then, you know, sometimes you leave. You commit suicide, spiritual suicide, because you say, okay, Lord, them people in my family, they didn't talk about me. And now, you know what? They done put me in a pit. All my sisters, my brothers, they done put me in this pit. And in this pit, it's dark in here. Now then they took me out the pit. Then they done sold me. They said, well, we don't want Hart in the family no more. We don't want him in our family no more. They don't even look like us. They don't even talk like us. As a matter of fact, they don't even smell like us no more. So we don't want them. So then you go into the prison experience. You go into slavery, and you say, God, this is hard. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do the other. This is too much for me. And, you know, then you don't want to do it. You didn't do nothing wrong, but because you had these dreams, these visions, you know, they didn't like you. People in your family said, well, we know God, too. We know God just like you do. And they don't realize that God put you in there so you could pull them out so that when there's a famine in the land, he's going to give you all the food so that they can have food when the famine comes. But they don't realize it, and you probably didn't realize it either. But, you know, then you get thrown into prison. And, you know, we can't complain in the prison when we're behind, whether it's a spiritual prison or a physical prison. You could be behind bars. You could be in a jail somewhere or in a literal prison. We can't complain. We got to thank God for every situation. He said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. So, you know, many of us commit spiritual suicide voluntarily, intentionally. We mean to do it. We say, I don't have to put up with this hell. Lord, them people, them people you put me in the church with, I don't like them. Lord, I just will stay home and serve you. And then you start backsliding. You don't read the word no more. You don't pray no more. We begin to starve ourselves spiritually. We're not disciplined anymore. You know, at least the word was, you know, coming to you in the church. At least the pastor was preaching the good news and the truth. But then when you left there, because Sister Sally Sue and Brother Harry moved, he just couldn't, you know, they weren't doing you right. So you left, and you lost your heritage. You said, okay, well, I'm just going to study the word on my own. You did it for maybe a year, and then you say, I'm tired today. I'm going to bed. I ain't going to study the word no more. But the Bible says, study to show yourselves approved, pleasing to God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. And, you know, you can commit spiritual suicide when you're not studying the word, when we refuse to obey God in the assembling of ourselves together. In Hebrews 10:25, I learned it as a child. Do not neglect to assemble yourselves together, as is the manner of some. Exhort each other more, because we are nearing the end. You know, we don't know when Christ's going to knock at our door and say, come on, come to heaven with me now, come on. Or when he's going to judge you and you say, oh, well, I don't even know your name. You ain't even on this list of people that I have. Then what you going to do? You know, we got to obey God. He said, you know, get together with other people who are like, you know, like me. They ain't perfect, because I ain't made them perfect. I'm the only perfect person. You know, we got to have spiritual preparation. We got to prepare ourselves to be, you know, spiritually minded. We got to worship, praise, study the word, attend worship services. And you know what? We got to stop sinning. I'm talking about intentional sin. Now, God said it in his word. Who can know his errors? We don't know the error of our ways. We got to repent. We got to say, God, you know, every error I committed against you today, forgive me. Sin leads to spiritual death, which is suicide. Don't you know Adam and Eve committed spiritual suicide? Yes, they did. They had a whole garden before them. You know what? We got to want the truth, because it's the truth that makes us free. John 8:32, it says, the truth shall make you free. We got a hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, you could be going to a church where nobody studied the word, but you got to study the word. God said, obey him, study the word. We must feed ourselves spiritually, or we'll die spiritually. We don't want to commit suicide spiritual suicide. There are many, like I told you, many teenagers are committing spiritual suicide. But we got to be that light in a dark place. Suicide in any way is bad, horrible. It could also, you know, lead to natural suicide, spiritual suicide. You know, if you're not fed spiritually, you could get depressed, suppressed, oppressed, and hopeless. You know, there's life in the Word of God. Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed his word more than my necessary food. In other words, Job desired to know God's word more than his food that he ate every day, the food that kept him alive. He said, no, let me see. I'd rather fast and hear God's word than to do all this other stuff. Yeah, eating food is good, but he desired spiritual food. He had a spiritual thirst and a spiritual hunger. You know, that's what God wants to do, have a spiritual hunger. You know, a lot of times, you know, you be so hungry, you get up, you go in the kitchen, and you want to eat everything in sight. But God wants us to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. A hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You know, we can hunger for the wrong thing now, but we got to have a hunger and a thirst. Now, spiritual death can come upon us when we're neglecting to do what's necessary. Genesis 2:17. That's when it says, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. You know what? That's what the Lord told Adam and Eve. He said, no, you cannot eat of this tree, but all those other things. You know, that's, he made a commandment to them, and they disobeyed it. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wicked of the wickedness shall be upon him. Romans 6:12 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, you know what? We got to desire the sincere milk of the word. Then we got to eat meat to stay alive. You know, in Genesis, let's go there. With Genesis chapter 3. You know, this is in the beginning, the books of the law. This is where God gave the law. He first gave it to Adam and Eve. Now, Genesis 3:6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. Now, if you read the whole chapter, you're going to see how Satan went to her and told her and twisted God's word, and she ate it. And she gave it to her husband. He ate it too. And they both knew better because God had already told Adam. And he was to tell his wife, and they were not to eat of that. So, you know, this is a spiritual death. This is the first spiritual death. And then in Genesis verse 3 and 8, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Why did they hide? Because they knew they had done what God told them not to do. He said, this tree, don't eat of that. The other ones, you know what? Even your children, you can put out 10,000 different kinds of cookies. And you say, now these, don't touch them. What they're going to want to do because of humanness, they're going to want the kind you say, don't eat. So that's how Adam and Eve were. They did what God told them not to do, so they hid. And we're like that. When we sin, we hide from God, knowing that when God said, well, you know, I've been looking for you. Where were you? You know, God spent time with Adam and Eve every day. He wanted to spend time with us. But where are we? He'd be calling us, and we say, oh, I got to look at the 5 o'clock news. Oh, I got to look at the 10 o'clock news. And, you know, in the morning, God said, well, where are you? You said, well, Lord, you know, I had to go out with my friends. Well, Lord, you know, I couldn't do it today. Lord, I'm going to spend time with you, I promise. Then time comes, something else comes up. The phone rings. That's more important. You know what? Sometimes we are hooked on things. We are worse, some of us, than a drug addict. We are addicted to the telephone, addicted to the TV. We're addicted to everything but what we should be. But God said, you know, he wants us to be desirous of him more than anything. Like Job said, Lord, I desire the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. So Job did that all the time. So anyway, spiritual death, you know, that's sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So we got to run hard after God like a deer that thirsts for water. We got to hunger for the Lord. Hunger after righteousness. You know, God wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, and strength, to love each other like we love ourselves. And so, you know, we got to repent before God. We have to desire eternal life. I don't know about you, but I don't want spiritual death. I want to live my life the way God wants me to live it. I want to have spiritual life and life more abundantly. He said life and life more abundantly. That's what God gives us. That's why he sent Jesus, so we can have abundant life. So I want to say to you today, if you are not saved, you know, think about what you've done in your life. Think about the sins you've committed. Think about God and how he sent Jesus to die for you so that you could be saved. So today I want to ask you, if you are not saved, would you like to be saved? What do you need to be saved from? Your sin. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. So we're talking about life and life more abundantly right now. So God wants everyone, everywhere. He said one time he winked at ignorance, but now he's calling all men everywhere to repent. So let's repent of our sins. Let's be saved. Call on the name of the Lord. You know, don't wait till it's too late when he calls you. And you, when I stand before God in the judgment, I want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want him to look for my name on the roll and he can't find it and he turned me away and he sent me to the pits of hell. I want to have an eternal life. I want to walk the streets of gold. I want to be there where they're worshiping God morning, noon, and night. I want to be there where they're praising God all day long, 24/7. Can't you imagine? Oh, my God, the King of Kings, the one who be, you know, whom our soul desires, he's going to be there. And we get to bow before him and worship him and thank him for all the times he kept us in the palm of his hand, all the times he kept us safe, all the times he fed us and clothed us and just took care of us. We can thank him. So today I want to say to you, it is closing time on Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. I have truly enjoyed speaking to you today. And if there's anyone on who needs prayer, you can press 1 at this time. All right. Well, looks like everybody's caught up with their prayers. Thank the Father for that. As I said, it's closing time. And in 2 more days, not tomorrow, but the next day, we will have Bible Storyland at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. That'll be July the 20th. So I say to you, have a God-filled night. Study the Word. Show yourself approved. Take the TV off, even if you just do it for 1 hour. Like Jesus said, can't you spend an hour with me? You know, he says, can't you just spend an hour in prayer? Can't you just spend some time with me? He desires, he's waiting for us in the secret place. So have a God-filled night, God-filled weekend, God-filled month, and a God-filled year. And I want you to know that God loves you. He loves you so much. I love you, Mom. But I can't love you like God loves you. He loves you with that eternal love, that love that nobody else can love you like that. So have a good evening. I love you.